This is indeed the very final study that we have on the three angels' messages. That's after 50 studies. And it's very fittingly entitled, The Last Urgent Call. The call that we are studying is the call of Revelation 18, verse 4. Which actually is an echo that has been the appeal of God throughout all the ages, as is written in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. Here is the call. Therefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Those of you who have been covering these series with me will recall that this was one of the early scriptures that we were reading right in the very beginning. That God calls those who are called upon to, or who wish to be baptized, to come out from the world, as was written here in verses 14 through to 16. So this has been the gospel message all through the ages, and we had learned the detail of that under the first angel, how to engage with the Godhead, as it said there, that he will be a father unto us. So of the Godhead, there was the Father, there was the Son, and there was the Holy Spirit. And so to engage in the understanding of the one whom we are to worship and give the glory to, this was one of those elements in that study. It has always been the work of the church, God's church on earth, to call people away from the world to him, to God. If we go there to Revelation 22, verse 17, you see it. It is the very call of the Spirit and the Bride. Revelation 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So this is the work of God's church through all ages. The bride, the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. As we read it in 2 Corinthians 6, Come out of her, my people, and I will be a father unto you, and you will be my sons and daughters. Come. This is the very message, the very call of to the marriage supper. That's what's contained there in Matthew chapter 22, verses 7 to 10. After Jesus had called the Jews into the marriage, but they would not come, so the call was then extended to the Gentiles, in Matthew chapter 22, and there in verses 2 through to 10. Matthew 22, verses 2 to 10. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which had made a marriage for his son. He sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their way, one to his farm, another to his merchandise, and the remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then said he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways, and gathered together all, as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. This is what the kingdom of heaven is like. God has prepared a wonderful spiritual and everlasting feast, and he calls. The Jews were called, but they didn't want to come. So he went and called the others, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished. So here is the call throughout all the ages. Come to the wedding. Come away from the things of the world. Come to where God has prepared a place. And there is a specific parable that belongs directly to our time, and that's the one in Matthew 25. Again, it's the same message, but with greater intensity. Matthew 25, verse 6. And here is the parable that Jesus identified at the end of his sermon in reference to, as in the days of Noah, watch, for you know not what hour the Lord doth come. At that time you have the servant and the faithful servant and the unfaithful servant, that so on. And then at that time shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom, and they fell asleep, as you remember. And then it's verse 6, and at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. So here is that call again, but it's the coming of the bridegroom now. It is the last appeal for people to come at such a time as in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. So we have explored the detail of this calling in the second and third angels' messages that we've studied, where it said Babylon the Great has fallen, and then the strong messages of identifying Babylon and what that is and how we are to react to it and respond to it, and then the fourth angel, the Revelation 18 angel, is the one we're looking at now. The third angel was to warn the people that if they worship the beast in his image, they will be destroyed, etc., etc. All that was part of the three angels' messages, and now there is this final appeal. As these messages of come were being given, there were lots of people that were always missed out, because the church was not perfect. And there were a lot of people that would come along and examine the church and think, So this beautiful message of the bride saying, come, it was not always abundantly clear to the hearers. It was muffled by frailty of the church. And that's what we saw even with the third angel, that the message was given in a weak fashion, and many people missed out because it was not powerful enough because of the frailty and the Laodicean condition of the church. So those people that didn't receive the call from the bride, from the church, because the church was imperfect all the way through, it is actually written that the people who miss out on the call by the church, God took care of them. We read it here in Romans chapter 2. People who have never heard the message of the gospel at the hand of those servants whom God has sent out, they still had their opportunity to be part of the of God's kingdom. It's beautifully written here in Romans chapter 2, reading verses 12 through to 16. Romans 2, 12 to 16. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. So in the hour of judgment that the first angel announces, there are lots of people who have never heard the message. They have never heard the law. They were without the law while others were with the law. But those people who were without the law, are they necessarily all lost? It says here that the Gentiles, those who were without the law, do by nature the things contained in the law. These having not the law are a law unto themselves. So there are people out there who have never heard the message. They are called Gentiles, yet, as it says there, in verse 15, they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. So here are people who haven't heard the message of the gospel, who haven't heard the message of the law of God, who live in harmony with their thoughts, which have been stirred by God himself, the Holy Spirit, as we read in John chapter 1 there, that Jesus is the light that lights every man that comes into the world. So that being the case then, there are people who respond to Jesus in their hearts. And that's what is mentioned here in Romans chapter 2. They live according to their conscience. And there's a very beautiful statement in Desire of Ages that throws perfect light on this. It's written in Desire of Ages, page 638. This is a surprise to some people. It says, those whom Christ commends in the judgment may have known little of theology, but they have cherished his principles. through the influence of the Divine Spirit, they have been a blessing to those about them. Even among the heathen are those who have cherished the spirit of kindness. Before the words of life had fallen upon their ears, they have befriended the missionaries, even ministering to them at the peril of their own lives. Among the heathen are those who worship God ignorantly, those to whom the light is never brought by human instrumentality, yet they will not perish. Though ignorant of the written law of God, they have heard his voice speaking to them in nature, and have done the things that the law required. Their works are evidence that the Holy Spirit has touched their hearts, and they are recognized as the children of God, sons and daughters of God. Even though there has never been a message given to them through human instrumentality. And this is a very important thing to understand, that God is not totally dependent upon human instrumentality, even though he wants human instrumentality to be cooperative with him. He can still work through the Holy Spirit, even with people who have never heard that message. So it is that although the three angels' messages have been given since 1844, when the first angel's message before 1844 first came, and the announcement of the hour of God's judgment has come, was given in the first angel, and from that time onwards, the ministry of people was to embrace those messages. We remember that these angels are people who are working in harmony with the universe. That although they have been giving these messages, there have been many who have fallen through the gaps, many people who have never heard the three angels' messages in this period from 1844 onwards. And the question is often asked, are they going to be lost because they didn't hear this message? According to what I've just been reading to you, many have not heard these messages, and if they have heard them, they might have been so sort of contorted by the failure of the church in its, as we've been reading, that the church became apostate or lukewarm, or the message was tame and voiceless. So the message did not come to them in a manner that would convince them. Are they lost? Here's the statement from the Australian Union Conference record, August 1, 1902. Everywhere there are hearts crying out for the living God. The Lord has his representatives in all the churches. Remember, they were announced in the second angel's message as Babylon is fallen. But the Lord has his representatives in all those churches. These persons have not had the special testing truths for the last days presented to them under circumstances that brought conviction to the heart and mind. Therefore, they have not, by rejecting light, severed their connection with God. There are those that have faithfully walked in all the light that has shone upon their pathway. They hunger to know more of the ways and works of God. All over the world, men and women are looking wistfully to heaven. Prayers and tears and inquiries go up from souls longing for light, for grace, for the Holy Spirit. Many are on the verge of the kingdom, waiting to be gathered in. These demand the service of those to whom God has entrusted His truth. So these three angels' messages have never come to them in circumstances that brought conviction to their hearts and minds. And so if these messages came to them outside of those circumstances that could convince them, they may have said, "Puh," because the circumstance of the presentation was one of a church that was lukewarm. So that being the case, they walk away from it. Well, as it says there, therefore they have not, by rejecting the light, severed their connection with God. And these are the people who, if they die without ever hearing it, will be among the great multitude. They won't make it among the 144,000 because they were never tested with the three angels' messages. Although the messages might have just brushed past them, they couldn't accept them because it didn't come to them in a convicting manner. Therefore, they did not, by rejecting it, lose their connection with God. They will still be saved, just like the heathen who have never heard the message. Same thing. But, according to our study tonight, there is coming a point in time when there won't be any more falling through the gaps. We read of this here in the closing work of the three angels' messages in the power of the Revelation 18 angel in Great Controversy, page 390. We come to a point in time where there will be no one on the planet who has not been tested by these messages. Page 390 of Great Controversy. Here is the description of that. It says here, notwithstanding the spiritual darkness and alienation from God that exist in the churches which constitute Babylon, the great body of Christ's true followers are still to be found in their communion. True followers, but they're in Babylon. There are many of these who have never seen the special truths for their time. They've never seen it because it's never been given in a circumstance that can brought conviction. Not a few are dissatisfied with their present condition and are longing for clearer light. They look in vain for the image of Christ in the churches with which they are connected. As these bodies depart further and further from the truth and ally themselves more closely with the world, the difference between the two classes will widen, and it will finally result in separation. The time will come when those who love God supremely can no longer remain in connection with such as are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Revelation 18 points to the time when, as the result of rejecting the threefold warning of Revelation 14, 6 to 12, which is the three angels' messages, the church will have fully reached the condition foretold by the second angel, Babylon is fallen, and the people of God in Babylon will be called upon to separate from her communion. This message is the last that will ever be given to the world, and it will accomplish its work. When those that believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness, shall be left to receive strong delusions and to believe a lie, then the light of truth will shine upon all whose hearts are open to receive it. And all the children of the Lord that remain in Babylon will heed the call, come out of her, my people. So those who have fallen through the gaps in the past, when there will come a time when the condition of the churches have come to such a degree that God's people in those Babylonish churches will see the difference between what Christianity should be and what the churches are. And they're ready. They're just waiting. Where are you, Lord? I can't find you in my church. And as they cry like that, they will be ready to identify the call, to proclaim the call successfully in a circumstance that will bring conviction to the heart. The church that is to give that final call will have melted down to a little remnant that we've been studying about. We were reading it there last week. The remnant of her seed that the dragon is wroth with and makes war with, Revelation 12:17, and the Laodicean church, that the angel of Revelation of the Laodicean church in Revelation 3:20 and 21, that angel is spewed out. But behold, I stand at the door and knock. The faithful ones who open their heart to the Lord, he will come in and sup with them, and they will finally be brought to a point of verse 21, which says, those that overcome, as I have overcome, will sit with me. That little remnant, those overcomers, are identified as the church triumphant. Now, those people that are overcomers, who reflect the purity of Jesus Christ and have grown to the fullness of his stature, they are a little remnant. And that little remnant is now able to successfully proclaim the last call. Because now the voice from heaven can be heard clearly through these faithful ones. It's the voice from heaven. Let's just read a Bible text to clarify what I have just explained here, which we had studied in the past, but just to bring it vividly to our attention, that there is a little remnant that is talked of here in Song of Solomon 6. Song of Solomon chapter 6. The sixth Song of Solomon. Psalms and Song of Solomon are not chapters, incidentally. Every time people say chapter, it's not a chapter, it's a song, it's a psalm. Song of Solomon 6. It says in verses 8 to 10, here are all these churches that we were reading about. All these Babylonish churches that have gotten worse and worse and worse. And we come up to the Revelation 18 angel. There are 70 queens and 70 concubines and virgins without number. Isn't that right? All the churches, all the organizations, queens and concubines, etc., and virgins, little companies everywhere, all claiming to be God's people. But my dove, my undefiled, what is she? Undefiled, is but one. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bare her. The daughters saw her and blessed her. Yea, the queens and the concubines, and they praised her. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners. Here is the pure church, my undefiled, the same as Revelation chapter 12, at the beginning, the woman that was dressed in the sun and the moon under her feet. They were the faithful people through whom Jesus was born, and the early Christian church had nothing against her for a while. Now here she stands again. When all the churches have come to their final revelation of their Babylonish ways, the faithful people of God wonder, where is she? Here she is. My dove, my undefiled, is but one. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bare her. The daughters saw her and blessed her, yea, the queens and the concubines, and they praised her. So you had all these different churches, and you have the birth of Mother Babylon right down to this tiny little company who has been melted down to the remnant of God's people. And who are they? They stand forth fair as the moon, clear as the sun, there she is, terrible as an army with banners. The pure, faithful people. In Testimony Volume 1, we read of it on page 181, which we quoted last week, and here it comes back into focus again, where it says, my attention was then turned to the company I had seen who were mightily shaken. I was shown those whom I had before seen weeping and praying with agony of spirit. The company of the guardian angels around them had been doubled, and they were clothed with an armor from their head to their feet. They had obtained the victory, and it called forth from them the deepest gratitude and holy sacred joy. I heard those clothed with armor speak forth the truth in great power. It had effect, etc. So here is the message of come out of her, my people. From whom? From the people who had been mightily shaken, and all that was left was only those who would purely follow the Lord. And as they go forth, they proclaim the message like an army to the world, and it's a message that has its effect. It brings out those faithful ones for the last urgent call for them to come out. Because they are purged and cleansed by the shaking that they've gone through, they are imbued with the Spirit of God in the latter rain, as we had studied it in the past. And what makes these few people prominent, as we read last week? The movements that are afoot that will cause the Sunday laws to be put into effect. And as those Sunday laws are put into effect, these faithful people will stand out. They will be ending up in courts. And now, the circumstances, under the power of the Spirit that is speaking through them, the voice from heaven, the people will hear the clarity. Because this church now is no longer marred by lukewarmness. They have been brought purely to be a transparent people reflecting perfectly Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit from heaven can speak through them. And God's faithful people in Babylon will recognize it. Now it comes to them in a convicting manner. They can recognize it. So the people are ready. They have come to the point of being separated from their churches because they can't stand it anymore. But where do they go? And here comes the message by those who are faithful that God has brought to that position. And now these people say, come out of her, my people. That's the only time that the word come out of her, my people, in the three angels' messages is actually voiced. The other ones are just announcements for people to see. But now is an actual message where a people will actually say, come, by their strong proclamation of the voice from heaven. The question is, where do they come to? Here is a company of people that are so small, they're like an army thoroughly marshaled, but they're scattered all over the world. With so many organizations around, where do people come to? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 to 26. Hebrews chapter 12. Because this is a voice from heaven, the people will know exactly where to come to. Because it is a people that is proclaiming the message that are in tune with Hebrews 12, 22 to 26. But you are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. So what did we read in Revelation 18, verse 4? A voice from heaven. And where does the voice from heaven call people? Come out of her, my people. Come where? As it said here, come to Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. And then he emphasizes it. The people who didn't listen to the voice on earth, if they didn't make it because they didn't listen to the voice of earth, then it says, then what do you think it's going to happen to those who will not listen to the voice that speaks from heaven? Whose voice then shook the earth, and now it's going to shake not only earth but heaven as well. So here is that voice from heaven of Revelation 18:4 that gives every Christian at the very end of the three angels' message period the opportunity to hear the voice and to make a decision. That's the last final cry. Notice to whom he's calling them. To these people who throughout the ages have been faithful. Right? The church of the firstborn. Let's come over to chapter 11, verse 23. Sorry, yes. We read it there in verse 23. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn. But we go to chapter 11. And here we have that church that they are called to. Hebrews 11. Verse 32 to 39. Here they are. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson, of Jephthah, of David, of Samuel, and of prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, and so on and so on. Verse 30 8, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Now that's interesting. Come back to verse 13 to 16. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. So when the cry comes out from heaven, through the agency of these faithful souls, remember how they were being treated? And how they are being treated right through to the end. They are all members of this church of Hebrews chapter 11. What did we read there? They were persecuted. Down in verse 36. Others had trial of cruel mockings, of scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain. These were the faithful people of all ages, and that is God's church. That's what we read in Acts of the Apostles, page 11 and 12. Faithful souls constitute the church on earth. So, as these people come out of their organizations and they hear the cry, come, they are being called to join the faithful ones, which represent all the faithful ones from all ages. They've all died, and here are the final ones, and they join with those few people. Not a big organization to join, just a few people that are faithfully doing their work. That is, they will recognize, they will come out to do that. It is the faithful remnant that has been mistreated through all the ages. As Jesus was mistreated, remember here, the opposition which Christ received came from his own nation, who would have been greatly blessed had they accepted him. In like manner, the remnant church receive opposition from those who profess to be their brethren. That was the quote from Review and Herald, August 28, 1883. So yes, as it says in this whole statement, that all through the centuries their names were covered with infamy. All the hosts of hell could do was done to heap reproach upon them as the vilest of men. But John in holy vision beholds the faithful souls that come up out of great tribulation, surrounding the throne, clad in white robes and crowned with immortal glory. There's the church. They are the church that stand in the last days in smaller number, as we've studied, and the faithful ones in Babylon recognize them. That's what Hebrews 11 is all about. Here they are. And they are happy to join because they are God's people in Babylon. So indeed, it is what Jesus spoke about, the church against whom the gates of hell shall not be able to prevail. It is John chapter 10, verse 16. That's where they are called to. John chapter 10, verse 16. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. Interesting, isn't it? They will hear the call from heaven. His sheep in other folds. That was verse 16. I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. That is the condition just before Jesus comes. And they hear the voice from heaven. It's the voice of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. And this is the company that in this last, final, urgent call comes under the umbrella protection from the destruction that is to happen to Babylon. It's Isaiah 26, verses 20 and 21. This is the call in the Old Testament, exactly the same as the Revelation 18 angel. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpast. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. So there it is. What is this? What is this? These chambers that they are called into? Come into thy chambers. This is written in Bible Commentary, Volume 4, page 1143. Here it is here. No, it isn't. In Bible Commentary, Volume 4, which we did quote last week, and here it is again, 1143. The quote is, Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy door. And then the comment, what are the chambers in which they are to hide? They are the protection of Christ and holy angels. The people of God are not at this time all in one place. They are in different companies and in all parts of the earth, and they will be tried singly, not in groups. Everyone must stand the test for himself. So you get the picture. They are not in great big companies in one part of the world. They are scattered all over the world in little companies, because the voice of heaven called them out from the churches, and they are coming together only with these little companies like they saw in Hebrews chapter 11. No difference. And as they come out, as it says here, to the protection of Christ and his holy angels. That's the chambers. Christ and the holy angels being closed in together with him. And this is beautifully expressed in early writings, page 88. Through to 89. One of the visions that was shown to the prophet here, she saw the whole world on a train going lightning speed into destruction. She asked the angel if there were none left. He bade me look in an opposite direction, and I saw a little company. How many? A little company traveling a narrow pathway. All seemed to be firmly united, bound together by the truth in bundles or companies. So it was a little company in bundles and companies all around the world. That's the picture that was shown here. They were bound together by the truth. Said the angel, the third angel is binding or sealing them in bundles for the heavenly garner. This little company looked careworn, as if they had passed through severe trials and conflicts. And it appeared as if the sun had just risen behind a cloud and shone upon their countenances, causing them to look triumphant, as if their victories were nearly won. Indeed, that's how close they are to the coming of Jesus. But they are the church triumphant. They look triumphant with the glory of God shining upon them. So, through them, now that they are so equipped, the voice from heaven speaks, and the people are brought out to become part of that company. That voice from heaven, as we've identified, is the Holy Spirit. And I just want to quote one more quote from Desire of Ages, page 671. A beautiful concept in reference to that voice from heaven. It says, the Spirit was to be given as a regenerating agent, and without this, the sacrifice of Christ should have been of no avail. The power of evil had been strengthening for centuries, and the submission of men to this satanic captivity was amazing. Sin could be resisted and overcome only through the mighty agency of the third person of the Godhead, who would come with no modified energy, but in the fullness of divine power. It is the Spirit that makes effectual what has been wrought out by the world's Redeemer. It is by the Spirit that the heart is made pure. Through the Spirit, the believer becomes a partaker of the divine nature, and Christ has given his Spirit as a divine power to overcome all hereditary and cultivated tendencies to evil and to impress his own character upon his church. And now they stand forth under the power of the Holy Spirit. Of the Spirit, Jesus said, he shall glorify me. The Savior came to glorify the Father by the demonstration of his love. So the Spirit was to glorify Christ by revealing his grace to the world. The very image of God is to be reproduced in humanity. The honor of God, the honor of Christ, is involved in the perfection of the character of his people. That's what this is all about. They will stand there in the perfection of the character of God. It is the voice from heaven. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The preaching of the word will be of no avail without the continual presence and aid of the Holy Spirit. This is the only effectual teacher of divine truth. Only when truth is accompanied to the heart by the Spirit will it quicken the conscience or transform the life. And so it goes on to say, many people hear sermons today, and it's all true, but there's no Spirit in it. It is the Spirit of God that makes the truth come home to the heart, and it is the voice from heaven that is going to make the difference through these people in the last call that is given here. So this is the, in other words, the full power of the latter rain. as we had studied it once before, here is now that final call under the Revelation 18 angel. And it comes in the most effectual circumstances, so that the people will not, who are God's people, will not reject it. They will see it. All true believers will be touched and rushed out of the churches, as we were reading before. They will be rushed out of the churches into the fold where there is safety. And here is the picture, the protection of Christ and his angels. Let's go to Isaiah 33, verse 16 and 17. Isaiah 33, verse 16 and 17. There it speaks about those who walk righteously and speak uprightly in verse 15 and verse 16 and 17. He shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His waters shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. So this is the company. They will again be persecuted. They'll be running for the hills. Their place of defense will be the munitions of rocks. And bread and water will be given them. They will not starve. God will look after them. That is the protection of Christ and his angels. While the world is rocking to and fro under its destructive forces, God's people will be protected in their chambers. And look how beautifully that is. That is when Psalm 91, verses 4 through to 11, comes into full display. Because this is when the plagues are all being spread about. And God's people have just been called out not to be partakers of the plagues. And here it is, that's the description in Psalm 91, verses 4 through to 11. Come into thy chambers, all right? He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. You're under the protection of Christ and his angels, up in the munition of rocks. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Why? Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, the chamber. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Come out of her, my people, that you receive not of her plagues. Can see how that all links together? So all those beautiful words that have been quoted throughout the ages take full import when this time arrives, when the plagues are going to be poured out. This is the last final call. It's urgent because, as I brought out last week, the breaker of destruction is about to crash. And just before it crashes, there is this last urgent call. And this is the call that is imperative to be responded to as it comes to us at the hand of the movement of the Revelation 18 angel, those faithful people. So may God help us to recognize this experience, because it is present truth. Amen. We have concluded the whole series of the three angels and that other angel. It is now my sincere prayer that all who receive these messages, these CDs that come to you, that you will be nourished and benefited by this, as we have just seen in this final study, it is a present message. It is a message that is urgent. As we look around us, we see that already the earth is crumbling. The quote that we gave some time back from testimonies that the prophet saw war and famine and bloodshed, then there was a little time of peace, then again war, famine and bloodshed, and then men's hearts failing them for fear for what was to come upon the earth. Is that not where we're standing now, ever since the Second World War? Because therein the prophet saw the First World War, then the little time of peace between the two world wars, then the Second World War. And since the Second World War, men's hearts have been failing them for fear for what's coming on the planet. And where? How many years since the Second World War finished? Quite a while. So we are now right here at this point where there is a little time left. And may all who hear this message recognize the events and take their place, not necessarily with adherence to man's organizations, but adherence to that church that we have just studied here, that it is a faithful people who will not be moved by the false interpretations of Bible teachings, and who will recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit through his people. So this is my prayer for everyone that hears these messages, and may we meet those we don't know each other across the planet, but may we meet and recognize each other when we are faithful to the end and will have a place together on the earth made new. Amen.